Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Who is the best number 19 of all time in sports? The reason we're asking is because 19s are wild on this particular edition of the show. The magic number is 19. 19 runs for the Rockies, 19 runs for the Indians, 19 hits for the Rockies, 19 hits for the Indians. Again, I haven't researched every night that Major League Baseball has ever operated since its inception, but I can't imagine that's happened very often. 19 runs on 19 hits for two teams on the same exact date on the calendar. And so because of that, we got 19 on the brain, and we're asking you, who's the best 19 of all time in sports? Some of your answers, I'd forgotten about the 19s. I'm impressed. I like the creativity, and I like the wealth of your knowledge. So keep it coming on Twitter, A-Law Radio. I promise this hour we'll get to a few of them. I've already seen my favorite. I was reserving my number 19 until we got a few answers on social media, but I've already seen my favorite. It's out there. And just seeing the number makes me excited. That's kind of cool, isn't it? As sports fans, we get really attached to a particular athlete. We're so loyal, right, as sports fans, even though it's not always returned. And sometimes our loyalty creates a blind spot. But we know athletes, we identify athletes by their numbers very often. And those numbers become iconic to us. My favorite number forever and ever and ever until the end of Amy Lawrence is 33 because of Larry Bird, and also because my favorite NASCAR driver, Dale Earnhardt, was number 3. But 33, it will never just be a number to me. It will always be Larry Bird. It will always be a number that was ingrained as a child, as a sports fan when I was growing up. I mean, 33 means something to me. And so 19 means a lot to some of you, and I've been pleased with your answers. A-Law Radio to find me on Twitter, our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I'm excited to share with you our third annual edition of Ask Amy Anything on video. So we'll do that at some point during the show. I don't want to compete against myself, though. I know there are a lot of people out there who'd rather watch me answer questions than listen to what I have to say about sports. So anyway, for now, you've got the picture up on Twitter and on Facebook. That's the famous shirt, the shirt I picked out just for the occasion, one of my favorite shirts. I guess you don't have to ask me that question ever again because you already have the answer. And we framed this as best we possibly could. There are people walking by in the newsroom. We've got equipment behind us, the lights, it's backlighting, all kinds of stuff. Isaac and Chris and I worked really hard on this edition of Ask Amy Anything. So we'll put it up on our YouTube channel sometime in the next couple of hours. And we're excited to share that with you. Hashtag spaz. We're inside the Quicken Loans studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Sometimes the material from the night in sports provides more nerd alerts than any other. And here's another one that I can throw out at you. Again, I don't know if this has ever happened because I didn't feel like it was worth the hours it would take to do research, but I think it's pretty notable. There are 8 baseball players who've agreed to participate in this year's Home Run Derby. It'll take place next Monday at Nationals Park in D.C. Of those 8, 7 of them are first-timers. There's only one repeat. 7 guys are first-timers. And if I'm not mistaken, 7 of them come from one league. That's something else that I heard in passing and was like, wait a minute, I should check that, but I didn't. So if that's wrong, oh well, I guess you can shoot the messenger.
Baez drives one in the air, deep right center field. That ball's got a chance at the wall, leaping is Duggar, and that ball is a home run. Javier Baez ties the game with a home run.
Here's a 2-0. Here's a fly ball to right field. Muncy sending Polanco to the wall. He looks up, and it's gone. Max Muncy with another one.
And the pitch swung on and crushed. High and deep left field. Soto back, track, wall, and gone. Rhys Hoskins, a two-run home run.
1-1 to Aguilar. Hit in the air, a ton to center. Where's this one going to land? All the way off the scoreboard. Big man hit ball far. Three-run homer for Aguilar.
Bregman, and he rifles it. Long, high, deep and far. Home run number 17 for Bregman.
Schwarber drives one in the air, deep left center field. It's got a chance. Gone. Long gone. Get out the tape measure for Kyle Schwarber.
Hit well, high and deep to right field against that St. Louis skyline. Kiss that thing goodbye. A two-run shot by Freddie Freeman.
Harper swings and drives one to deep center. Jankowski back, can only watch it. Way, way out of here and gone. Goodbye.
Well, if that's any indication, we're in store for some fireworks at Nationals Park. The Home Run Derby features a pair of Cubs, a Dodger, a Brewer, an Astro, a Philly, a Brave, and a National. And only Bryce Harper has ever been part of the Home Run Derby before. Seven newcomers and the hometown favorite. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks to the radio networks of the Cubs, the Dodgers, the Brewers, the Astros, the Phillies, the Braves, and the Nationals. And also thank you to social media, Cubs Twitter, as a matter of fact, for giving us a behind-the-scenes peek of what it's like to know that you're going to participate on one of the biggest stages in baseball, but certainly one of the most epic competitions of the summer.
Hi there, this is Abby Baez, and I'm really excited to be in the Home Run Derby, ready to put on a show.
This is Schwarbs. Really excited to be in the Derby. It's going to be a lot of fun, especially with the Hot Baez show right next to me. It's going to be an experience that we're never going to forget, and we're going to need all your guys' support.
Thank you.
Javi Baez and Kyle Schwarber, both participating in the Home Run Derby to represent the Cubs. And again, that comes from the Chicago Cubs Twitter. Social media is good for something every now and then, I guess. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Man, you're blowing me away with your 19s. I'm trying not to read them because your tweets and your Facebook posts keep coming. I'm trying to focus on what I'm doing, but I'm also so mesmerized by the number of names. And there are some incredible Hall of Famers who wore number 19 across the board in different sports. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Carlos is in Irving, Texas. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Amy.
Hey.
For one, I've been dreading this call because you predicted you're right. LeBron went to L.A. So
I predicted what?
He predicted LeBron, if he left Cleveland, that he was going to L.A., so I have to humble myself to you.
Oh, gosh. Well, I didn't really predict. I just felt like the writing was on the wall there. I would have been surprised if he had gone back, only because of what I'd heard people saying. It felt like he was ready to go.
Well, kudos. but I'm calling for baseball. I'm not talking about LeBron. We're not going to give him all that.
Thank you.
No worries. Boston, man, Boston's rolling like a steam train. I mean, and Carlos Vasquez's IQ in baseball is higher than most people think. I mean, Aaron Boone, I mean, granted, they gave you the pieces, but Carlos Vasquez doing what's already been there. Xander Bogaerts, man, he's a beast. Mookie Betts is coming into his own. That lineup, I mean, they're doing what they do, and they're doing what Boston's always been. They're baseball. I mean, they play the game. I mean, they broke the curse. Believe me, I'm a Rangers fan. I don't feel right now, okay? So, but I was thinking that New York was a little smart My cousin knows baseball more than I do, and he says Hamels has been throwing the games away. And if they need a pitcher, why not trade with the Rangers and get Adrian Beltre at the third base and get it back? But what do you think? And have a good night, Amy. Thank you.
All right, Carlos. I don't think the Yankees need a bat. I agree with Pete Abraham, who was on the show with us last hour. Not that you can ever have too many great fielders and big bats, okay? I understand that. But if you're the Yankees and you don't want to trade away too many of your young pieces, you certainly don't want to give away too many of your building blocks. You already have a middle infield with Didi Gregorius and Gleyber Torres. And think about it. If something would happen to Gregorius, you've got Torres, who is a shortstop by trade. I think that the need is a pitcher. When you think about Masahiro Tanaka, who was injured, just came back and really did not fare well when he came back two nights ago. How about Sonny Gray, who, yes, I know, pitched well enough to get the win for the Yankees on Wednesday night, but he's been an unmitigated disaster this year. He's been nothing short of a roller coaster ride when he gets out there. So, yes, for him, he picks up the win, but his ERA is 5.5, for heaven's sakes. CC Sabathia, while he continues to be a steady Eddie most of the time, I would say that you still worry about him in terms of his age and the ability to go the distance when the weather's, you know, when the weather's hot and steamy. I think they have plenty. I think they have plenty of hitting. They can score runs like nobody's business. They've got the power and they've got the leadership as well in that lineup. What I would think that they need more of would be a starting pitcher. Luis Severino's been awesome. He's got 14 wins. His ERA is just over 2. But he leads the team in pretty much every pitching category. I think they need someone else to help. And even if you look down the road at the playoffs and thinking about a rotation that you're confident in against some of these other teams in the American League specifically that have such potent lineups. I mean, the Astros can hurt you 1-9 when you face them. So can the Red Sox. I think it's important for them to focus on their pitching, but we'll see. I mean, if you have a chance to get Manny Machado, I'm not sure you say no. It feels like that's not the most pressing issue for the Bronx Bombers. Called the Bombers for a reason. All right, we've got some calls on the line, 855-212-4227. Always good. And we're going to dive into these 19s. We may have to put up a show poll about the most iconic 19 of all time in sports. The problem is I'm not sure we could narrow it down to 4. It would be difficult. Maybe we could choose 4 Hall of Famers. I don't know. We'll see. So again, 855-212-4227 or on Twitter, A-Law Radio, plus our Facebook page. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
4 Hall of Famers.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Here's the 2-2.
Swung on there, it goes deep right. It is high, it is far, it is gone. It banged off the foul pole. It's a grand slam. It's bye-bye birdie in the right field seats. A 3-run home run last night, a grand salami tonight. The Birdman of New York. And the Yankees take a 5-0 lead.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Big moment for Greg Bird. Sometimes gets lost in the other big names and big bats that the New York Yankees have, but he certainly contributes and definitely did last year when it came to the Yankees pulling within one win of the World Series. John Sterling with the call on WFAN, the Yankees radio network. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. And we got a bunch of you who want to talk about baseball, which is cool. Also, we're fielding your iconic number 19s on social media. I had forgotten about all of the incredible athletes that wore 19, though I'm not sure Joe Montana with Kansas City counts, but many of you have mentioned his name, right? I mean, he's one of the best football players of all time. So whether he was wearing 16 with San Francisco or 19 with Kansas City, it's fun to have that brief flashback and that walk down memory lane. Let's get back to our phones here. Joe is listening in Maryland. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Thank you, Amy. I'm a big fan of Johnny Unitas, who was worn number 19 for many years.
For sure. I would say, even as we were thinking about putting a poll together, I was trying to narrow it down just to Hall of Famers, which actually was impossible. I couldn't do a Twitter poll with only four of them. But Unitas, I would say, along with Tony Gwynn, is the most common answer that we're getting. The way that he set the standard when he was a quarterback was amazing.
Yeah, and I'm a distant relative of his. My dad was his godfather at baptism, and my aunt was a Red Cross nurse who delivered Johnny at birth in a Red Cross hospital in Pittsburgh.
Ah, well, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, there was a big flood in Pittsburgh, and everybody had to leave their houses, and they went to one of these old red brick schools that was made into a Red Cross center, and Johnny popped out. And anyway, she got to become the godmother, and quite a guy.
Oh, that's amazing. That's kind of a fun story to tell at parties.
Yeah, and I actually didn't meet him until he went into the Hall of Fame, and somehow I got invited into a little cocktail party, and I had a beer with him, and I asked him if he knew. He said, sure. He's in his autobiography called The Golden Arm, and talks a little bit about it. There you go.
He was another quarterback that played until he was 40, but it's weird to think about because he didn't finish his career with Baltimore. He finished his career with San Diego at 40 years old.
Right. And I'm trying to think who he roomed an apartment with. Was it Lenny Dawson?
Oh, gosh.
One
I
of the
no
other
idea.
Guys. But, yeah, they changed the regime in Baltimore and, you know, one of the new people in, and John. And ironically, he died 1 year after the famous or infamous 9/11. He died on September 11th, 1 year later. He was working out on an exercise machine. He had a heart attack.
Oh, gosh. Well, those are a lot of different facts about Johnny Unitas that I'm not sure I ever know, Joe. Thank you so much for sharing.
Okay, thank you, Amy. Appreciate you being here. Good night.
Night. 855-212-4227. More than 40,000 passing yards in his career. All of his seasons in Baltimore, except for one, very last one at 40 years old. So watch out, Tom Brady, not the only guy. And I feel like more difficult to do in the era that Unitas played in, the 50s, the 60s, and into the 70s, because there was far less protection for quarterbacks. But he was tough, to be sure. I mean, this was a guy who I feel like you would want to get hit by him even less that you would want to hit him, almost. Like, just a toughness. That's what the word that pops to mind with Johnny Unitas is, toughness. All right, let's go back to our phones here. 855-212-4227. We'll talk to Chris, who's also in Maryland in Baltimore. Welcome to After Hours.
Hi, Amy. With the Machado trade talk, if I was a team wanting to trade for Machado, I would want him playing third base. He's an all-star. Well, not all-star. He's a very dynamic defensive player at third. At short, he's adequate. I mean, he's made plays at third that Brooks Robinson never could have made, where at short, he's your slightly above average defensive player.
Which I think is interesting because he has said he wants to play shortstop.
Yeah, well, he's better at third. I mean, you know, if you want to play quarterback, but you're 6'8", 350 pounds, you're not playing quarterback.
You know, I gotcha. It just, if there's a team out there, just humor me for a second. If there's a team out there that would hope to either sign him to an extension or hope to convince him to stay once he's an unrestricted free agent at the end of this season, you would think they'd want to cater to him a bit. Obviously, the hot corner is a little harder physically on you. But, I mean, I don't know. It kind of depends on which team goes out and gets him. But I feel like if you're a team that is hoping to have him for longer than just a few months, then maybe you let him do what he wants, if you can. If you can.
Yeah, I have one more United story for you about how tough he was. He took a hit. I'm not sure against what team it was, but there was blood gushing out his nose. And it was a rainy day, and he just grabbed a handful of mud and shoved it into his face to stop the bleeding.
Oh,
and two plays later, he threw a touchdown pass.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like that's kind of the era of football that he lived in. Yeah, I mean, he was the guy that I can remember would run over defenders when he had a full head of steam. He would get going. And, man, he had some games in which he nearly had 200 rushing yards in his career. Actually, there was, I think, at least one game that he was over 200 rushing yards in his career. So
he was kind of an ugly scrambler. They called him the crab when he scrambled.
Yeah. Right. Not pretty. Thank you so much, Chris.
Right,
I appreciate
good night,
that.
Amy.
You too. I misspoke there. I didn't mean a 200-yard rushing game. I meant a 200-yard rushing season. But putting together, enough runs and enough rushes in critical situations, either to pick up the first downs or by necessity, just the fact that he is a guy who would crack heads with you and would take on a defender and maybe crush him on his way by. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. Let's work in one more here. Kevin's in Boston. Kevin, welcome to After Hours.
Thank you. I was coming there. Red Sox, what have you, whatever. But how do you think of the Red Sox with the asterisk next to the Red Sox? Because they're playing all these crap teams, but when they play the Yankees.
Wait, why would there be an asterisk?
No, I'm saying my point, I think it should be because when you play the crap teams, there you go. But when they play Yankees or the Houston.
Well, I think they split with Houston this year, if I'm not mistaken. And so far against the Yankees, there are still 10 games to go against the Yankees this season. But
Dave Price.
No, I gotcha. David Price is an Achilles heel when it comes to the Yankees. But, I mean, it's not like that's the only team he pitches against.
Yeah,
If I'm not mistaken, they're 5-4 against – or they're 4-5 against the Yankees this year. So I think the Yankees have one more win. But
whatever.
That's generally even. I mean, it's not.
The Kansas City game. You guys, really? I'm just saying it's kind of weird.
Wait, what is weird? I'm sorry, I missed that.
No, when you play that Kansas City game. You took them all, the fourth inning, Dave Price?
Oh, I gotcha. Well, they swept the Royals, so whatever. Whatever works.
You're just too funny.
Am or he is?
No, he is.
Oh, well. I guess that's one word to describe him. He's, I'm not a huge fan. I know that the Red Sox paid a lot of money for him, so they're invested in him.
$127 for the next 4 years, whatever.
So that's what I mean. They're invested. They really want him to figure it out. And he's had some good starts this year. I think he's settling into the Boston routine. This is such a weird conversation. Okay.
Thank you for the call.
All right, Kevin. I appreciate it. Have a good night. Thank you. That was weird. Felt like it was a chorus. Like it was an echo, potentially. Yeah, I mean, no one's going to mistake David Price for Chris Sale. But right now, when you look at the record against the two teams that are keeping pace in the American League, if I'm not mistaken, we just talked about this with Pete Abraham from the Boston Globe, but the Sox and the Astros have split their four games this year. And then against the Yankees, they still have 10 to go. I was also listening to the Yankees broadcast in my car for a little bit because my boss is leaving at the end of this week, and so I went to get him a card. And I was on my way to the drugstore, and I turned on the Yankees game, and they happened to be mentioning scores, and they were going through the fact that the Red Sox had beaten the Rangers, and the Indians had had a huge win, and they talked about the Yankees falling farther behind if they don't win every single night. I mean, even if you're winning the majority of your games, maybe you're winning at 60% or 70%, still, the way the Red Sox are rattling off all of these wins in a row, it's hard to keep pace unless you just don't lose. And so John Sterling and Susan Waldman were talking about how they still have 10 more games to go, and there's plenty of time to be able to make up ground in that particular series. And it's great. It's great with those two teams that they're neck and neck and that the games are kind of split 9 is not an even number, which means one team has to have more wins than another, at least at this point. But it's good. It's good for the rivalry. It's good for the sport to have these two teams with such big bats. And, I mean, I could do without the six-hour games, but whatevs. 855-212-4227. So we've got our home run derby participants, 7 newcomers, and Bryce Harper, which, of course, we had to have a national at Nationals Park next week. We've got a bunch of other baseball drama that we haven't quite gotten to yet, but I will. Finally, a moment for the Mets to remember, a night for the Mets to remember. Also, Buster Posey in the spotlight and kind of scoffing at the media a little bit. He does that every now and then. And we'll take more of your calls. A-Law Radio on Twitter, best number 19s of all time in sports.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
We're able to stab it up in the air. Trippier out duel by Parrish. Mandzukic got it there and scored!
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Croatia moves on to battle France in the World Cup final. First ever appearance in a World Cup final for Croatia. And you hear the calls there with John Strong on Fox Sports. It takes extra time in Moscow. And England had the early lead but could not hold on to it. And so England is stunned. It's not a great sports day. In fact, it's a miserable sports day across the pond. Also with the favorite Roger Federer losing in the Wimbledon quarterfinals. It was just a lot of tears. Although, can I just ask you this question? I know that in the United States, we have a wealth of sports options, all right? We have everything. I feel as though we are extremely blessed when it comes to our sports. We have American football, which freaking drives the bus. We've got Major League Baseball. We've got hockey and hoops. All of those things, while not necessarily exclusive to the United States, are dominant in the United States, right? I mean, and we dominate those sports. Now, we may draw athletes from other countries, but the NHL is the greatest hockey league in the world. The NBA is the greatest basketball league in the world. There is no equivalent to the NFL, not even close. And then, of course, Major League Baseball, while there are other leagues around the world in other countries, specifically Central America, South America, Caribbean, Major League Baseball is where they all want to be. And so we have a lot of different sports options, plus, you know, other minor sports that you know, are just kind of outside that big four. In most other countries around the world, while they do have other sports, I'm not suggesting they don't, their leagues pale in comparison to their football programs, meaning their football programs. But I still can't imagine, as much as I tried to put myself in the shoes of these English football fans, who, of course, haven't won the World Cup since 1966. Here in the United States, we've never won it. But I might have shed a couple tears if we'd had the lead and we get into extra time and lose an extra time. It's stunning and it's painful. I mean, I'm still not over the United States losing to Trinidad and Tobago. But can I tell you, I didn't cry. I mean, have you seen some of the videos and pictures of English football fans beside themselves? I mean, inconsolable over their team losing to Croatia in this World Cup semifinal. So I try to put myself in their position. I know we're different as Americans again, because we have many options. I would be over the moon to see the United States get into the Final Four in the World Cup. Could you imagine? But I can't imagine crying over it for 24 hours. I just, that part I can't imagine. Maybe I'm just jaded because I do this for a living. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So it's Croatia and France. In case you didn't know, the ratings have just bombed out in the United States. They've been really bad, not just because the U.S. men's national team didn't qualify, but because routinely and methodically you had the top names in the sport get eliminated. And so here you are, Croatia, who's never been in a World Cup final, and France, who, of course, has been there before. But just the idea that there's no American team and some of your biggest names have bowed out early have been so brutal for the ratings. But maybe around the world, it'll be incredible. Let's talk to TJ, who's listening in Miami. TJ, welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Good morning, Miss Amy.
Hello.
Yeah, good morning, Miss Amy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know why some people cry and a lot of young ladies? Because they have to wait another 4 years. And
no, I get it. As an American football fan, soccer fan, I know. I understand. I was crushed when the United States failed to qualify, but I did not cry or carry on the way that I've seen some English fans do.
Last week, Sweden, you saw the Sweden girl and the Sweden blonde, and they were crying, and the commentator said, look at the Sweden girls, the pretty girls, and crying. Because they know they have to wait another 4 years.
I don't need a commentator to tell me who's pretty and who's not, actually.
That's what he was saying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but the World Cup is, you know, my team was in Brazil, but we got knocked out. But
did you cry?
No, I didn't cry.
Okay.
Heartbroken, though.
I understand being heartbroken. I don't understand being like so inconsolable that it's like either your favorite pet died or you lost a family member. That part I can't identify with. I've shed tears over my sports teams before, but I can't imagine losing it like that.
Yeah, but you know, England, the last time they won it was 1966, and they were looking forward. I think they sung that song too early. They scored too early. They were singing that it's coming home. That song, I think.
Well, that's what happens when you count your chickens before they hatch.
Yeah. Next question I want to ask you, Miss Amy. Would you buy the NBA preview league for next season coming up?
Would I buy what? I'm sorry?
The NBA League.
Would I buy it?
Yeah, purchase it.
I don't have that kind of money. Wait, I'm confused. You mean buy it as in buy a team?
No, the NBA League on TV, so you can watch all the NBA.
Oh, no. I have access to as many NBA games as my little heart desires. So, no, I mean, I already watch them for work. So, no, I wouldn't go ahead and buy. I don't need NBA. Is it League Pass? Is that what it's called? NBA League Pass?
Yeah, the League Pass.
No, I don't have that. I'm not made of money, my friend. Uh-huh. And so I watch the games that are available to me, and I listen on the radio to the ones that I don't see on TV.
The reason why I asked, because I said Golden State going to win next year. It don't make sense, you know? All the way, you know, I don't see Golden State winning, and you can't put your house on it. There's no way Golden State going to lose.
I mean, I don't bet, so I'm kind of a dumb I'm not the right person to ask. Would you bet your house on it?
No.
Okay, phew.
I know some people, you know, people are going to, you know, because they know Golden State can't lose, because only person I can see is Houston Rockets, but Chris Paul always hurt. They hurt. So I don't see, you know.
I guess my question would be that if it's such a sure thing, why would anyone bet on it? Because you're not likely to get a great return.
Right. That's how I think, you know.
And I don't even know anything about betting. But it doesn't seem like it seems like the longer the shot, the longer the odds, the more you stand to get, the more bang for your buck. So if it's a sure thing, then why would anyone bet on it?
You have a lot of people betting it, you know.
Oh, I do know that. Yes, for sure.
Yeah. All right.
All right, TJ. Thanks so much. Enjoy the World Cup final.
Yeah. Thank you. Bye.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, and our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line brought to you by GEICO with some great news. There's a quick way you can save money if you switch to GEICO, and if you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance too, you can get it all at GEICO.com. All right, before we get to some of your 19s, which are just amazing, I have to ask you this question. Is it bad luck to put your shoes on a counter? Isaac swears that it is. So here's why I'm asking. I had never heard this before. I've heard the black cat thing. I've heard the mirror thing. I've heard I guess those are the two I've heard. Are there some other?
A ladder.
Walking under a ladder?
Yeah.
I mean, I do that just because. If someone leaves a ladder up, what in the world? Yeah, no, I don't believe in bad luck or superstitions. I don't believe in jinxes. Some guy said to me earlier, because I tweeted about the Indians being up 17-0 and how no bullpen communication problem could ruin this one. They wanted to be sure. Some guy's like, don't jinx it. I mean, stop it. I have nothing to do with it. Just like I have nothing to do with whether or not a hitter breaks up a no-hitter. That sounded funny. Whether a pitcher completes a no-hitter. So I don't believe in jinxes or superstitions or bad luck. But Isaac jumped on me earlier. He was like, get those shoes. Actually, I guess that's not what you said. I have a shoebox with me here at work because I'm wearing a dress. I have multiple appointments after the show in the morning, one of which is actually two of them, which I'm meeting some people about potential opportunities. No, I'm not leaving CBS. Don't spread any rumors. Just in addition to what I'm doing now. And I want to look nice, right? And so I wore a dress to work, but I didn't want to wear heels all night long. So I brought my heels, my fancy smanchy heels, in a shoebox along with some other things that I might need, like hairspray, whatever, girl things. So the box was on the counter next to me in my prep studio, and Isaac's like, what's in the box? Apparently he thought there were treats in the box because it's just a white, plain white box.
I was hoping.
Right. Well, sorry. I failed you. And so I said, they're my shoes. I open up the box and I show him my heels. And he's like, oh, get those off the counter. Because that's bad luck, I guess. So is that a thing? That's like, don't put your shoes on a counter? That's bad luck thing?
Yeah, I actually Googled it. It's a North England thing and an Italian thing.
I can't believe I didn't know that. I wonder if my grandmother would have said the same thing to me. Get your shoes off the counter.
But I asked our resident Italian tape op, Anthony Pierno, and he said, never heard of it.
In that accent?
Yes.
Sweet. I've never heard of it either, but I hope it does not give me some bad luck.
No, you're welcome.
Because I have some big meetings coming up on Thursday morning.
You're all good now.
All right. So, let's see. On our Facebook page, we've got a lot of people weighing in about the most iconic 19s in sports. Bruce on Facebook, Robin Yount. Jacob says, my boy Joe Sakic. Andy says, got to go with Tony Gwynn. I have a few signed baseballs from the 98 World Series run. Let's see. Jim says, I enjoyed watching Lance Allworth, the wide receiver of San Diego Chargers in the 70s. I'm going to go down a limb and say he's not the most iconic number 19 of all time. John says Carl Edwards, so going the NASCAR route. Rick says Joe Montana, and somebody corrects him and is like, no, Joe Montana was 16. And then he's like, no, Joe Montana of the Kansas City years. Here might be my favorite answer, also the most off the beaten path, Juju Smith-Schuster. Okay, if he's your favorite, great, but I think he's got a little more work to do to get to be iconic. Thomas says, I'm both an Indians fan in the American League and a Rockies fan in the National League, so my answer would have to be Bob Feller. John says, the captain, Stevie Y, meaning Stevie Yzerman. Brian Sullivan on Facebook says, Bernie Kosar. Most iconic 19s in sports. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.